Thank you for listening to this message from Southwest Baptist Church in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. We are a church family desiring to point people to the glory of God. We are committed to equipping and encouraging one another in the faith and evangelizing our community together. If you want to learn more about Southwest Baptist Church, visit southwestbaptisthavasu.org. Now for this week's message from Pastor Rob Westlake.
1 Kings chapter 19, verse 7 this morning. We're in this second message in this series entitled Noise Recalibration. Just this idea of being able to recalibrate so that we are individuals hearing from God even in a very chaotic world. We understand it is chaotic. It is getting more and more chaotic. And that is something that God said would happen. But this morning, as we come back to 1 Kings, we are going to look at the life of Elijah one more time. And I want you to notice a phrase that will come across here in verse 7. The journey is too great for thee. And that is the idea of this message this morning as we finish out introducing this idea so we can kind of get a grip of where we're going for the rest of this series. So if you're there in your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 19, we'll start in verse 7, and you notice these words. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee." And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And it came thither unto a cave, and he came thither unto a cave, and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life and take it away." And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said unto him, "Go, return thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abimelech, shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him." This morning, as we come back to this story of Elijah, and we finish out this introduction set of messages in this series, we're drawn to that phrase that I mentioned at the beginning there in verse 7, "The journey is too great for thee." Now, although this journey in Elijah's life was going to be 40 days and 40 nights, how many of you have realized that you have been on a journey, and the journey that you are walking on at times or all the time is just too great for you? You ever come to that point when you realized it? Imagine that infant that is born into this world. And that infant realizes very quickly that this journey is too great for it. And what does it do? It screams its head off asking for help because it is unable to help itself. Now, many of you have experienced it. You have done it. You have sometimes enjoyed it and sometimes regretted it as that child grows up and turns into a teenager and realizes it knows absolutely everything for the journey, right? And then that teenager grows up, goes away to college, and realizes that $10,000 a semester, it is not ready. The journey is too great for it. And what do? Hey, mom, hey, dad, can you help me pay this school bill? The journey is just too great. And you graduate from college, you've got stars in your eyes, you're starting a new job, maybe you're getting married, and the world is all coming together, and you think, I've got this. And you realize God allowed you to marry someone that is completely opposite from you, and you realize again, this journey is too great for you. And then you begin to grow together, you get some things, you have some kids, and you realize this journey really is too great for me. And then you figure out a little bit how to teach those kids, and you grow up, and all of a sudden the aches and the pains come, and you realize again, the journey is too great for you. We realize at periods in our life, as God brings events into our life, that the journey is just too great for you. Can you remember the first time when your life turned out to be harder than you could imagine or ever imagined? Now, let me just flip the script for just a second and think about a good noise. Last week, we were talking about surround sound systems. How many of you have watched a movie on a surround sound system? I remember the first time my parents went and they purchased a surround sound system. It was probably just one of those $100 all-in-one systems, the DVD player, plug and play, and you're good. Now, as much as we look back and laugh at that now, I think about the first time I plugged a Star Wars DVD into that system, and all of the sudden, noise from every part of the room, things that you had never heard were coming about, laser beams all over the place. It was absolutely incredible. To me, that was a good noise. Now, we think of those moments where life turns extremely difficult, but God speaks into that moment and it's a good noise. Now, my wife and I left home, went away to college. My wife and I got married. We started traveling, eating off Papa John's because that's where I worked. And it was a blessing, and we didn't have a lot of things. And we started to live in Jamaica, and I introduced the boys now to Star Wars. However, at that time, we had something like a 32, 33-inch flat-screen TV with the absolute most atrocious internal speakers. And I put that DVD in, and it just fell flat. It just didn't have the same pow, you know? You know, we find that so often. We go through life, and God speaks in, and He breathes this great joy and excitement, and then we're doing something, the same kind of idea, but it just falls flat and we realize this journey's just too big for me. And we have to ask ourselves at that moment, what am I going to do? And we're going to see that there are a couple options that we have as we think about that question, what am I going to do? Now, again, we don't have much background to Elijah other than in the introduction, which we saw last week, that he was a man of God in chapter 17. And we then saw Elijah come to this very dark and low place in his life when he was threatened by an enemy of God, which simply by association, being a man of God, made him her enemy. And as he sits under this juniper tree, he doesn't need anyone to tell him that he can't handle life. He knew that he couldn't handle that life. Now, I just want you to think about this noise, and if we can say that reverently as God speaks into the life of Elijah, you think about what God tells Elijah. Now, how many of you absolutely love to hear a difficult statement in a difficult point in your life? What do we usually want? Oh, everything's going to be okay. You know, you've got this. You know, you're better than this, right? We love those. But look at what God tells Elijah. If you want to die, hey, I just want you to know something. You need to do this because this journey that I'm going to send you on, it's too big for you, right? I mean, he doesn't just pat him on the back, tell him it's going to be okay. He says, no, I got somewhere for you to go, but it is an extremely difficult journey from this point forward. And so you see that, again, we come back to this idea. We finished with it last week, but let's just put it as our first point this morning, a life powerfully confronted. Elijah is confronted again by God in this moment with some words from God. And what we see is God stepping into Elijah's story here, and he confronts him with some statements. He confronts him with some questions. And at this point, Elijah has to make a choice on what he is going to do with the noise he's hearing. He's hearing personal noise, and he's hearing powerful noise. He's hearing his thoughts, and he's hearing God's word. And he has to make a choice at this moment. Now, although we don't see this in Elijah's story, let me start off with this. Letter A, the choice to push back against God. The choice to push back against God. We mentioned last week as we saw Elijah running for his life that our minds are a big part of how we handle the noise that is being poured into our lives. Look with me, if you will, at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. And I want to encourage you that God has given us a way to handle the noise that is coming into our lives. We are confronted here by God with ways in which we can handle the noise. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1 says this, "My son, look at it, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments, for the length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." These are the verses that we are so familiar with. Verse 5 and 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." As you look at the noise that convinces us to push back against God in moments of confrontation, you see each one of these areas that God has given to us in Proverbs chapter 3 being neglected. I've highlighted them in your notes for that reason. I want you to really see some specific things that God tells us. Think about the noise of fear, right? Fear can begin to speak into our lives. It can show itself in our lives. And our thoughts tell us that we don't know anything about the journey. We began to make statements. Can I really make this 40-day journey? And we begin to recognize that as fear works its noise into our life, we can begin to push back against God because of the things that are unknown. But recognize what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. He says, "Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof." So you see this idea that our minds and our heart may begin to push back against God, but we need to be reminded that God has as well words to speak into our life to make those noises be drowned out by the good noise of God. As we think about moments where life is just about to get harder than it already is, we can hear the noise of self-pity, right? That noise that draws our mind to think about how bad our life is and how much worse it can get. And is it, like Elijah would say, really worth going on? Yet Peter tells us that God cares for you. And again, as much as we might want to push back because of the noise being flooded in our heart and mind, we need to be reminded from the Word of God that He has given us good words to follow. Satan, in these moments of difficulty, is willing to input the noise of bitterness or anger. And understand, like many of our own life situations, Elijah is in this place because someone else instigated this difficult point in his life, right? It was Jezebel. The words that she spoke planted into the heart and mind of Elijah that caused him to run, that then would have God give him this statement, this journey, this 40 days and 40 nights is too difficult for you. Somebody else. And at that point, it's very easy to become bitter at other individuals, to become angry at other individuals. And in worst case scenario, it's possible for us to become bitter and angry with God. And we need to be careful of the noise that we are hearing. We might also hear the noise of lust or laziness. Sometimes we feel like the easiest thing to do is to indulge in something to take our mind off the situation. We might just go home after a very difficult day at work and do some vegging on the couch, getting lost in some movie, right? And as we look at each one of these noises, what you realize is that there is an absence of God's word at play when we choose these influences, when we choose these noises to be the answer to our situation. We also see here in the flipping of the script of Proverbs chapter 3, as we choose to push back against God, this engagement in self-confidence or self-reliance, as you think to yourself that you can handle this. It doesn't matter how bad people tell you it's going to be, you can do this. So you see a lack of acknowledging God's voice that is trying to speak into your life at this moment as you're pushing back against the work and the word of God because your mind and your heart are listening to the wrong noise. What you then find is that your feet, your mind, your heart have taken you on the wrong path. And even though God said your journey was going to be great for you, not only is it too great, but now you are not walking with the nourishment of meat that God was trying to provide for you. So think about what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 11, 29. We referenced this last week. We come back to it again this morning. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." The journey is too great for you, but you can learn of me. Pushing back against the noise of God is always a choice to push back against peace, against rest, against the leading of God that will lead you along the path that, sure, it might not be smooth, but it will lead you to exactly where God wants you to show. God wants to show you exactly who He is and what He wants for you. So we have an account from Elijah here that really is encouraging to us because he does not choose to push back against God. Rather, letter B, he chooses to push forward with God. He chooses to push forward with God. Now, think about this. Elijah at this point in his life has absolutely no idea where God is leading him and what he is going to find when he gets there. But we read these words here in chapter 19. And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. So Elijah's there asking God to take his life. God speaks into his heart and mind, and he says, here is some meat, here is some rest, take this, and then get up and go 40 days and 40 nights journey, that's too great for you. And we read that he rose, and that he did eat and drink. He went forward with God. Think about those words again from Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We're not told all that went through Elijah's mind in this moment, but as he gets up off the ground and he moves forward, we understand that Elijah acknowledged the word of God into his life. He acknowledged who it was that was talking to him, and he acknowledged what God was asking him to do, and we are told that he took that food that was needed for him to get where God was directing him to. And so we find Elijah chose to push forward with God. And then notice the result in verse 9. And he came thither unto a cave, 40 days, 40 nights journey, walking, carrying on. Remember, his mind is still going to be a part of his everyday activity, right? How many of you know your mind can do a lot of things in 40 days and 40 nights? How many of you know your mind can do even more when you start to get hungry in those 40 days and 40 nights, right? So don't forget, he's on this journey and his mind is still a part of his life. But he came thither unto the cave. He lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? We talked about that idea, God wanting to speak into our lives and God wanting us to share what we're going through last week. However, as you see it, Elijah was being led by God to this point, and we see that Elijah made it exactly where God wanted him to get to. And we then see again God interacting with Elijah. And it's here where God begins to ask Elijah again, why are you here? So notice with me, number two, a life privately cured. Now, I don't want to give you this idea that Elijah was on cloud nine from this point on. But we do know that at this moment, the difficulties that he was going through were solved by the grace of God. I don't want to dismiss human engagement that God offers us in other believers. We're going to come to that in later messages. Yet I want to establish as a baseline for us in this series that God must be the foundational source of strength for the journey that we're walking on and walking through. And so notice several noises starting in verse 11 that God gives to Elijah here at the edge of the cave. You see that, and you know that. You know this story, probably the majority of us. A wind, an earthquake, and a fire. But you notice that phrase at the end of each one of these, but God was not in. And God wasn't in those. How often do we get so excited because of the big flamboyant noises that happen around us? A 2.5 hour comedy, the dog that jumps all over us because it's excited to see us, the car ride with the music in the background rolling through the mountains or down by the lake. And again, I don't want to disregard that God can't use these things to provide comfort and strength in the journey. But the greatest thing that lacks in these is the small, still voice of God for Elijah. Now notice that last noise that God gives to Elijah at the end of verse 12 and into verse 13. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah?" You notice that when God began to speak to Elijah, he knew exactly who was speaking to him. He went because he knew that voice and he wanted to find out what God had for him. All the big bangs that wind brought, the clacks of that earthquake, the crackles from the fire were probably some incredible sights and sounds, but not one of them had the word of God for Elijah in them. And when Elijah heard that small, still voice of God speak, Elijah knew God was about to give him exactly what he needed. So as Elijah stands there before the voice of God, Elijah again explains to God why he's so discouraged. Why was he ready to die? But notice two things that God begins to speak into Elijah's life that transitions Elijah from depression and sure death to passion and life. You notice the first thing, letter A, is God has a plan for you. I put in your notes, "I have," but maybe if you keep your notes, it'd be encouraging for you to cross out "I have" and write in "God" so that you know exactly who it is that has the plan for you. When the enemy begins to speak into your life, it's easy for us to begin to think we're done. We've done absolutely everything we can do and it's over. You ever been there in your life? I was there a couple times in ministry and I thought to myself, there's absolutely nothing more than I can do. And you know that's really actually the greatest place you can get to, because God is the one that wants to do it through you. God says this to Elijah as you think about the plan that he has for him in verse 15. "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abimelech shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room." The enemy says, "You're dead." God says, you're not done. And God tells us that he knows the journey is too great for us, but listen, he's formed you in your mother's womb. God's voice in Scripture tells us that he's called you to this life in Christ. He has given you life, and he will take it away at the appointed time. So we simply have to listen to that small, still voice of God, and he will tell us what's next. Think about this. A dead prophet can't anoint a king, can he? Right? A dead prophet can't call and train someone up to step into his place, can he? So God tells him he's got a plan. Now, I believe it would be extremely exciting in these moments to know, hey, God has just spoken to me, and this is exactly what I need to do. It's interesting to me to listen to how God calls people into ministry. One of my favorite Bible teachers for my master's was sharing with the class how he got out to the West Coast. He was on the East Coast, and he was invited to come and be a professor there, and he enjoyed the ministry that he was a part of and really struggling through that decision and just really studying the Word of God. And he came to a portion of Scripture that was talking about a three-day journey. And he began to think to himself, "Well, wait a minute. It's 3 days for me to get from where I am to Lancaster, California." And God began to speak through those scriptures on going there. And I think about God's work even in my own life, you know, just choosing to rebel against God and push back against his voice, choosing to make some very dumb decisions, but by his grace come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and realize the lack of biblical engagement in the area in which I lived, especially in the lives of teenagers. And as I began to study the Word of God, God began to use Isaiah and that very familiar passage, "Whom shall I send and who will go for me?" And the question just came back up into my mind as I read that. You know, if not me, who? I was a terrible public speaker. I failed speech class in high school regularly. And I was terrible in education. And my passions were everything but the Word of God. But that just question, that just kept coming back up to me. Who's going to reach these teenagers if you don't? And God began to burden my heart for that ministry. And God just opened every door from there. I made an absolute dumb decision to quit my job so that I could go into junior A hockey. And I asked my boss, "Can I have these days off for tryouts?" He said, "No." I had to make the choice, and I chose sports. Stupid choice. Just going to throw that out there for anybody out there. But because I made that choice, I was free to say yes to go be a counselor in training. Actually, I think at that year, I went as a counselor for a Christian athlete hockey camp. And God opened the door that at that year, a recruiter from Tennessee Temple was there offering 75% scholarships. Now, let me just tell you this. I told my parents there was no chance I was going to college. And so all the money my parents had saved, they spent. So now I'm without a job. And now my parents have used all the college money. And now I'm going to the United States of America, where my money is absolutely valueless from Canada to the United States. And yet God says, "Hey, here's where I'm directing your path. Here's a scholarship that is going to take care of the majority of your school bill." And you see, just as God directs and speaks and brings those noises into our life, we understand that as long as we have breath in our lungs, no matter how evil this world gets and how loud the noise speaks into our life, God is not done with us yet. Notice this second thing that God speaks into Elijah's life. You're not alone. You're not alone. This is so important for us to understand. Elijah's main struggle was that he was all alone. All too often we act like this ourselves, but God has placed Christians all around us to encourage us along the way. Notice what God tells Elijah in verse 18. "Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel." How many of you would love to have 7,000 believers in Lake Havasu City, Arizona? Right? I mean, Elijah's like, you know, I'm here all by myself. I mean, God doesn't say, "Hey, I got three other people ready to encourage you." He throws out 7,000 individuals that have not bowed the knee to Baal and every mouth that hath not kissed him. And so, again this morning, I want you to understand the journey is too great for you. But if you will listen for God's voice, he will help you see others in your area where you live, areas where you work, who you can come alongside for the glory of God. God says, I have, and maybe you simply need to ask God to show you someone who he has. They can come alongside of you and fight against your enemies. Now, we need to begin to draw to a close this morning. And so go back with me to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. We've mentioned this already in this morning's message, and we read these verses last week. But I want to give you just a couple thoughts as we think about pushing forward with God. Recognizing that he's not done with us yet and he has a plan for us. We notice these words in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our noise recalibration is always going to start with going to God. There is always a base to get the right sound, and for the Christian, that base is God. We have to learn from, or we might say we have to listen to Him, because He tells us, I am meek. We might use the word humble here. And so we come to the conclusion that our noise is only going to get worse in our lives when pride, when self, is at the center of our heart and mind. The journey's too great for you, so you can't pull yourself up by the bootstraps. You can't change your circumstances alone. We will talk about control later on, but understand this morning, Jesus as God has every ability to go at His mission in His own power, and yet we find Him praying to the Father regularly simply because He was meek. You and I need to humble ourselves before God and allow Him to lift us up. You notice one last principle here, and lowly in heart. Jesus didn't think more highly of Himself than He ought to. Elijah was able to move forward in his journey because he allowed God to speak into his life at an extremely difficult moment in time. And so God tells him the journey is too great, and so Elijah accepts the help God offers. As Elijah stands there in the cave and he hears that small, still voice of God, his meekness, his humility turned an active, detrimental mind into a calm, rested, peaceful heart and mind. Our world is looking in a million different directions for peace and strength. They're running to a million different mountains, and unfortunately, they really want to see the wind and see the earthquake and see the fire rather than hearing the small, still voice of God. I encourage you to learn of Christ, not the world. That world is going to stall the calibration to Christ and not allow you to hear the best noise God created you to make. I remember when I put together that really, really nice surround sound system that I was talking about last week. It tells you right at the beginning, you need to make the room very quiet so that it can calibrate the room so that it can bounce off the walls. And I remember the first time I pushed go on the calibration process and somebody walked in and said something and it paused it. It stalled the calibration process and I had to start all over again. When you and I allow the world to speak into our lives while God is trying to recalibrate us, it's going to stall what God wants to do in our lives. We need to pause, we need to be quiet, and we need to listen for the voice of God. And God, by His Holy Spirit, will speak through His Word and tell us exactly what He wants for that moment. Understand, God knows your journey's too great, but He wants to speak into your life so that He can direct your path, so that He can give you that peace, so that He can lead you to where He wants you to go, because He has a plan for you.
Hey, this is Pastor Rob. Before we end this time together, I just want to say thank you for taking your time to listen to this message. It is my prayer that today's message has helped you to see the glory of God just a little bit more. If you have questions about the good news of Jesus Christ, I would love to connect with you. The easiest way is to just jump over to the Connect section of our website and you can send me an email. If you live here in Lake Havasu and don't have a church home, I would love to meet you on an upcoming Sunday at 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock at our building on North Kiowa Boulevard.